The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
Never filtered. Always fun.
He'd wake up, roll over, and slug a Mountain Dew and go back to sleep. That's how addicted he was to
Mountain
Dew.
That's a problem.
That's a real problem. Like, that's you got to check yourself into rehab type problem.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
It's Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. The O-Dog will be back in just a moment doing a SportsCenter hit. NHL playoffs kicking off tonight. So three games, two early games, and then Vegas has the spotlight. Vegas, L.A., starting at 10, I believe, maybe 10:30 yeah. tonight. So it's going to be a big night for sports. The Blue Jays in action tonight. They're 8-4. Like, the Blue Jays are 8-4. We talked a lot about this throughout the spring.
Yeah.
That with the Leafs going to the playoffs, the Raptors going to the playoffs, even TFC doing what they're doing in Champions League, and they won last night,
mm-hmm.
that the Jays would probably embrace the idea of being under the radar in the city.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Like, and
just kind of fly under the radar. Like, just, but also, it was, to me, it seemed like it was the perfect time to stink, because everyone, like,
you get off
nothing
the hook.
To see here. You're kind of...
And that was what was predicted, right?
Right.
Like, they have, to their credit, come out and played really well. They're 8-4.
Absolutely.
The Blue Jays are 8-4. The Yankees lost 14-1 last night to the Red Sox. Now, Boston is pulling their weight. They're 9-1.
Yeah.
The Red Sox have been outstanding early in the season. They have not played the most difficult competition, but now they're into a series against New York, and we saw what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees in Stanton... Even Judge isn't necessarily doing what we expected. Maybe the expectations were too high. But the Yankees are not off to a great start. And the Jays, at the very least, have made us completely forget about what happened last April.
So do you think this is a team that is overachieving? Are people starting to believe a little bit and say maybe they're not as bad as we thought they were going to be?
I think you have to be consistent with what the narrative was a year ago when they were losing as much as they did.
Right.
Where at that point, it did feel like the sky was falling, but the objective baseball guy, quote unquote, would come out and say, listen, it's a small sample size.
Right.
They still have time to either take off or continue down this pace. Let's see where they're at in June.
Right.
In July. I think the same thing has to apply here.
For sure. It's 12 games.
You know, like they...
You have 150 left.
They got a lot of games left in the season, right?
150 games left.
Based on my expectations coming into the year, which were not very high, I thought maybe they could hover around 500 if everything broke their way. Obviously, they have exceeded those expectations. They're 8-4. But, you know, to their credit... They've pitched okay. They haven't pitched to a spectacular level that is like unprecedented league-wide, which is their strength,
right.
is their rotation. What they're doing is they're slugging. They're winning games with offense. They got more runs scored than any other team in the division.
Now, Sanchez had a gem last night.
Absolute gem last night.
But...
And that helps.
See, I think back, I think it was their last series where Stroman was getting, that was against the Yankees, I think. Stroman was getting rocked. They were down like 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
They came back and won that game 7-4, I believe.
Yeah, he got saved that afternoon.
Yeah, because I didn't think he was very good. Or maybe, actually, I misspoke. I didn't think in that inning, he got lit up in that inning.
He has not, he's gone two times throughout the rotation. He hasn't had great stuff. Like,
right.
Opening day, like when he pitched against the Yankees, I think he had 8 strikeouts. He K'd up a lot of guys, but they still got to him. Like, his numbers were pretty bloated. He had the shimmy going a little bit. He had that going in Texas over the weekend. But his numbers haven't been great.
Odor mocked it, didn't he?
Yeah, Odor did the... I don't know what Odor thought he was doing either. Like, it wasn't like a funny mocking.
Yeah.
It wasn't creative.
No.
Like, remember Donaldson last week with the White Sox when he blew the whistle, the fake whistle after he hit that home run.
Right.
Because the third base coach or whatever was blowing whistles when his defensive players made really nice plays.
Right.
Which was amateur hour. I couldn't believe that guy did that. I've never heard of that before. In the major leagues, some guy makes a nice routine double play and the guy's blowing his whistle in support. And Donaldson mocked that, and I thought he did so in a great fashion. And then the next day, he changed his walk-up song to something with the word whistle in it. Yeah, I don't remember like what song
whistling
it was.
Whistling Dixie or something.
Which was great. That's creative. What Rougned Odor did over the weekend, I don't know what the hell that was.
No, but people have taken notice of the little shimmy.
By Stroman, they have. Yeah. They have. And I think the majors would have taken notice to what Sanchez did last night.
Yeah.
Like, he had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning. Tim Beckham broke it up. You could debate whether or not it should have been an error or a hit. He hit a scud missile at Donaldson. I mean, to be fair to Donaldson, we were joking earlier. There was some Roger Dorning
in it.
Yeah,
it wasn't Roger Dorn, but still, you want to come up with that.
You want to, and he could have.
Right.
And you could have called it an error. It's at the discretion of the scorer, the scorekeeper. And I guess Gibbons came out today, probably sticking up for his guy in Sanchez, saying, I would have called that an error.
Right.
Because, you know, Donaldson would happily take it to keep a no-hitter going.
For sure. But what do you care if he takes an error or not? He doesn't care.
It's yeah, exactly. Like, it's not the end of the world for Donaldson. But we caught up with Aaron Sanchez earlier in the afternoon, and we asked him to take us back into the dugout in the seventh inning. What was running through your mind before you went out there for the eighth? And here's what he said.
Well, I know I'm six outs away, which is pretty cool. I've never been that close to throwing a no-hitter in my career. So, obviously, you know what's at stake, but you just try to make pitches. That's kind of what my whole focus was on the whole night. Was just about making pitches. So when I went out there, I really didn't put too much stress into anything. You know, it was still a very close game, so my mindset was more about winning the game than it was throwing a no-hitter.
So history was on the line. Like, the Jays, this is not a team that has had a lot of no-hitters throughout their history.
Right.
And he had the opportunity. Sanchez has been in this position before where he's gone late into a game with a no-hitter. And he obviously hasn't done it before, but he's saying all the right things. You know, the priority was the win. It's not like it was a blowout, because that would change your mentality a little bit, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, using your own experience as a goalie. If you've got a shutout going and your team's up 6-0,
and a guy,
but it's got to be a bit different than if you got a shutout and it's 1-0.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, the energy in the building's got to be different when it's a close game compared to a blowout.
For sure. That's the one thing. At 6-0, you know you're going to win the game. It's just a matter of, are you going to get the zero? At 1-0, you're trying to win the game. That's
exactly
it. Like, one mistake not only cost you your shutout, could cost you the game. So yeah, there's a lot more pressure on that. And you never want to be, getting back to Donaldson, you don't want to be the guy who costs that zero off the board. I thought it was an error, but again, I'm not fielding that, and I'm not a specialist when it comes to getting down on line drives. Mm-hmm. So,
you would Roger Dorn that situation?
No, I would have blocked it for sure.
You would have taken that off the chest like Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, but that's what I did for a living. I got hit by things.
Yeah.
So,
but you were padded.
I was padded. I don't know if I'd want to get hit by one of those line drives with no pads on.
No.
Especially this early in the season. I think, in hindsight, you're probably happy that Donaldson didn't get hit by that, because
well, we don't need
now
dead arm or something popping back up.
All of a sudden, he's got a broken bone in his chest or something, or, you know, he turns on it and gets hit in the ribs.
You know, we talked about this yesterday. The fact that nobody is showing up at these ballparks, and it happened again last night. There were, I believe, less people at the game last night than the night before.
I know
nobody is showing up.
I thought it was weird that. I mean, you flick back and forth. I was flicking back and forth, and there was nobody in the stands.
No, there's nobody. Nobody.
Wow. Like, that's... It is early on, though. And people are...
There's distractions.
It's such a long season.
There's other stuff going on. It's
exactly.
A long season. The weather's bad. Like, when it's the boys of summer. It's not the boys of winter.
Right.
Like, why would I want to be in a park? There were people at the Rogers Center, closed roof, controlled environment, wearing jackets. Like, you would see it during the broadcast. They'd show you'd be walking around in a jacket.
Because it's cold outside. And you'd probably get a chill. Like I say, that Rogers Center, it's not my favorite building in the league.
No, me
neither. I'll tell you that.
I'm not a fan. I have never been a fan.
It just doesn't have that character. Maybe that's the wrong word. Like, it doesn't have that.
No, that's exactly the right word.
Yeah.
Compared to other great ballparks throughout baseball, it's very bland. It's very concrete.
That's the one thing. It's just a giant slab of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Like you walk up those ramps and like it just, there's Fenway, you know, the old Yankee Stadium, Wrigley.
Even the new ones, right? Like the new ones are not going down the path of the Rogers Center.
Right.
They are building ballparks.
They're trying to create something for it. Like I've been to Coors. I've been to actually quite a few. Safeco in Seattle.
I've never been there. I heard it's a really cool spot.
Talk about being cold. We went, I think, at the end of May or June, and Seattle, it get a little rainy and windy. I went down and bought like a shirt of one of the players. I think it was Ichiro.
Mm-hmm.
Went and bought his just because I was so cold. I needed something. And the vodka wasn't warming me up fast enough.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest, it doesn't overheat.
Yeah.
That's like San Francisco. Like because it's in California, people assume it's warm.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, very windy there. Very, you know, it's got a chill and you feel it coming off the water.
I went to a game at AT&T Park in July.
Yeah.
And we were in sweaters and pants and like it was cold.
Yeah, you feel it. And especially if the sun goes down, now you're in big trouble.
You're freezing. Absolutely. Yeah. Tonight, you know, we talked about this earlier. The NBA's gotten really lucky. Like, they obviously didn't plan for this, but Denver and Minnesota are playing essentially a wild card play-in game.
Yeah.
Whoever wins is into the playoffs. Whoever loses goes home. And you could never have predicted this when the computer spat out the schedule, but it's worked out beautifully, the fact that these two teams are playing. And we've had this conversation before because the idea has been brought up in the NBA and the NHL. The idea of having a play-in game, so to speak.
Right.
And I guess we're going to get to experience it tonight in the NBA. We've never really had it. We just had it in the NHL over the weekend.
And I thought it was great. I really did, but I didn't have any loyalty to either team, even though I played for the Blues organization. But in watching it, I thought it was neat. It was a playoff game. It was for your whole season. Now, if you're St. Louis, you can go back and circle the week before against Chicago, 8 seconds. You left a point on the table right there, and
that could have been it.
That's the difference.
But you
right
could
there.
Do that with the whole season. You go back to October and find a game where you did
You're
that.
Right. But as a player, you do that. You start to reflect and say, what could have been? Remember that night and you know in Ottawa one night or wherever? We pissed away 2 points there. And that's... It haunts teams. Mm-hmm. It haunts players because they, I think players have pride and they know they didn't get the job done. Now, St. Louis was banged up, for sure. But I looked at a guy like Jake Allen. And Owen and I were texting during the game. And I even before the game, I said, you know, could this be his career with St. Louis, Jake Allen, the goaltender? Because Hutton had carried the mail. They'd started him the night before, Hutton. So they saved Allen for this back-to-back situation. I thought he played really well. But the MacKinnon goal, the 3-1 goal, for me, I know it ticked off of a stick, but it wasn't a great goal. So I could just see, and I know that they were already choked about the potential offside on the Tyson Barrie goal. Like it.
But they did it to themselves.
They did it to themselves.
St. Louis, remember how hot their start was?
They
how surprising
fire.
They were the first month of the season? They just went. They were in a roller coaster ride the whole
all season
year, and
long.
They finally hit a wall.
They did.
They finally ran into it. And what's even more shocking is the team that knocked them out was historically awful a year ago in Colorado.
Yeah.
And when we talk about our predictions going into the playoffs, it's like March Madness. Like you get drawn to the top seeds, but you know they're not all getting through.
Right.
And when if you could take anything out of this season, the 2017-2018 season, it's how unpredictable it was.
Yeah.
Vegas winning their division is shocking. We become immune to it because it's happened all year, and we got to a point where it's going to happen.
It's happening, yeah.
It was written in stone 2 months ago. They were so far gone, it's like they're just going to win the division. The fact that they didn't stumble down the stretch is pretty shocking.
Yeah.
But Vegas won their division. They got home ice. Edmonton was
terrible.
They were going to win the cup. Like, according to Vegas and everyone, it's like, just give it to McDavid right now.
Yep.
They're awful. Missed the playoffs. Ottawa finishes second last. They go from a overtime in the conference final to second last. Arizona passed them late in the year.
Yep.
You know, Colorado, from what they were a year ago to what they are now. Jersey wins the lottery and they get into the playoffs. Yeah. It's been a completely unpredictable season.
There was so many different storylines, and that's why it's exciting heading into the playoffs. Like, I was thinking about it, like, we think there could be some slam dunk series where it's, nah, you know what, Colorado, lucky to get there, don't see them winning a game, maybe pick up a game, never know. Like, that's the amazing part about the regular season compared to the playoffs. How many times have we heard some random name? Gilbert Dion, Chris Kontos, John Drews. Now, these are probably names before your...
No, I remember them all. Lonnie, I can give you Lonnie Bahanas.
Lonnie Bahanas. Like, these guys that, you know, come out of nowhere. Not really, because they're either journeymen or guys that were solid players, but go on a run where, like, it's a ridiculous run where they get 15 goals during the regular season, and they get 15 goals in the playoffs.
Right, in, like, 17 games.
Yeah.
They catch a heater, and...
That's why... When it comes to the Leafs and the Bruins, I'm not lying when I say it's a coin flip, and I'm not lying where I think skill could and goaltend, they match so evenly on a lot of different levels. Like, we're going to be looking at somebody, an unlikely hero, like, well, for me, anyway.
Yeah, listen, that wouldn't surprise anybody. I'm with you. Coin flip there. I'm on the Leafs because of the intangible that I've been talking about here.
Right.
I just feel like there's something about this young core. They're destined, I think, to exorcise a lot of demons from this fan base.
Right.
From this great fan base in Toronto that has been beaten down for a long time. Last year, they were happy to be there. This year, I think they're cocky, but in a good way. They believe they're going in there to win.
Yep.
They absolutely believe they can win. And Boston does, too. I mean, this is objectively, I think, the most even series, the best series. It should be great starting tomorrow night. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider in Winnipeg, will catch up with Dregs ahead of the game tonight. It's Jets Wild. You got Philly Pens tonight in Pittsburgh. And again, Vegas LA. Jays in action tonight. Raps in action tonight. We'll find out the road that the Raps are going to take to the conference final. TFC off to the Champions League final. It's a great time to be a Toronto sports fan. O-Dog will be back in here. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. NBA season wrapping up tonight. Raps in Miami taking on the Heat. We don't know who they're going to play in the first round. Could be Washington, could be Miami, could be Milwaukee. We don't know who they play in the second round if they get through. That'll be determined tonight. Could be Cleveland, could be Philly. We do know, though, that the Leafs are playing Boston, and they're going to be home for Game 3 on Monday, Game 4 next Thursday. And the easiest way to win playoff tickets, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram, at TSN 1050. At TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Right now, we're giving away a pair of tickets for Game 3. Leafs taking on the Bruins, Monday night at the ACC. Check it out, at TSN 1050 on Instagram. A winner will be announced tomorrow on Leafs Lunch. So Andy Petrillo, who is doing double duty,
yes.
And quickly, shout out to our main
Aren't
man, James Duthie.
Yeah, exactly.
James Duthie. James lost his dad last night in Ottawa, and that's why he wasn't a part of the broadcast last night. We're thinking of JD, such
Absolutely.
A good man. He had a great post, too, on Instagram, like a great send-off of his dad.
And,
So Andy is stepping in admirably, as always, and she's doing stuff for the panel, and she'll be in here for Leafs Lunch tomorrow, and they'll announce a random winner on Instagram. So check it out, at TSN 1050. We all have our cup predictions up there, too. Noodles, you weren't in here for it. Took Winnipeg. I threw Nashville out there. I haven't put enough thought into who I actually think is going to win a cup. I feel good about Nashville, but...
Yeah, it's... You need health. You need so many things to line up perfectly. Like, that's the thing.
Think of how
we're
many,
sitting
how
here
many...
going, we got all these series, and we think we can just nail it down, and then a week from now, we're going to go, wow, we didn't see that one coming.
Right. How many times over the years, Detroit, those powerhouses, they never won? San Jose, Washington.
Anaheim,
there's a lot of things that, like, just because you're good doesn't mean Jerry just hands you the cup.
That's a good
Let's
point.
Let's bring in Darren Dreger from Winnipeg.
All right, the Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance, and he's out there in Winnipeg. Are they happy about an early start, a 6 p.m. local time start, or what?
Yeah, they're okay with it. I don't think anyone was complaining about it. I think they prefer to start on the earlier side as opposed to late. But No, I think everybody's just looking forward to getting this series going, and that includes the players. You know, the Minnesota Wild, perhaps wrongly, have been painted as a massive underdog. I mean, they're an underdog given where the Winnipeg Jets finished in the Western Conference standings, but, you know, the Minnesota Wild are certainly going to put up a fight, so I think both teams are just eager to get at it.
What's old Brucey Boudreau saying, Dregs?
He was vintage Boudreau today. Again, talking about how most media and obviously the Winnipeg fan base has the Minnesota Wild as the underdog in this series. And he chirped the media today, you know, saying, yeah, I've been reading about that. It's hard not to see it with all the Canadian TV involved here. But, you know, he said, we're just happy to get the invite to come and play. Now let's get into the series and start playing and see which team ultimately is better.
I like that mentality because I think it's appropriate. Let's be honest. Boudreau probably in an honest moment would say we're in a tough bind here. I mean, Ryan Suter's out, Spurgeon's banged up, and Winnipeg is one of the top two or three teams in the league.
And Brucey has a weird track record. I think five times he's gone out in the first round and twice in the second.
Yeah,
he got swept
the
last year.
Final.
Well, and I think this is the first time a Bruce Boudreau coached team has started the Stanley Cup playoffs on the road. That's saying something pretty remarkable when you look at, you know, the number of teams or the number of times he's been to the playoffs as a head coach in the National Hockey League. I mean, that speaks to some pretty good hockey in the regular season.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, Dregs, in terms of which coaches are coaching for their life in the first round. And the only guy I could think of was Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
If the Caps go out, I think he's in big trouble. Is there anyone else you can think of that might be in trouble if their team loses in the first round?
No, I don't think so. You know, maybe Boudreau, if things really go off the rails, but even that is a low percentage chance. I mean, this guy's a good coach. He's proven that every step of the way. So, no, I'd agree with your assessment. You know, Barry Trotz hasn't been furnished with a contract extension, at least not to our knowledge, going into round one. So if Washington Capitals lose that round or worse, you know, they're dispatched in six games or fewer, you know, then maybe the Washington Capitals might want to, you know, look at Alain Vigneault or perhaps another coach if there's any changes made at another point after the playoffs.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. He's in Winnipeg tonight. It's game one, Jets Wild, and Patrick Laine's first taste of the NHL playoffs, and obviously Boudreau is going to be zoned in on him, trying to shut him down, but I don't see how it happens. I mean, you must be ecstatic being there live to see Laine play tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to it for sure. And, you know, for a young guy, he's still a teenager. He'll be a teenager for, what, another week or so. You know, he's pretty cool. He doesn't seem to be feeling the pressure. Certainly not willing to talk about it, or you don't get that when you talk to him. He's just like, yeah, let's get going. And on his Instagram earlier today, yeah, I think the picture was of him playing video games. I mean, what else would a star young teenage NHL player on the cusp of heading into his first playoff action do? Of course he's going to be at home playing video games. So let's hope he puts on a bit of a show, because he's going to be a focal point in the playoffs, period, let alone game one tonight.
One of the keys of the series, Dregs, I mean, as good as Winnipeg is, and we were just talking about it on SportsCenter, they got a lot of really good players that are really young and have zero experience. If you look at Hellebuyck, Laine, Ehlers,
Connor,
Kyle Connor, Tanev, Armia, none of these guys have played a playoff game, and they're good players and important to that team.
Yeah, and you know, Paul Maurice has downplayed that a little bit. You know, just trying to, again, release some of the pressure if those young guys are feeling any of that pressure. Just saying that they liked the way that they were playing pretty much from beginning to end of the regular season and you know, the way they're playing, most importantly. So just focus on that. Just execute individually in a way that you know how, and it should pretty much look after itself. And they do have some experience components. I mean, you can't underestimate the influence of Blake Wheeler, you know, to kind of just soothe some of that nervousness. And Dustin Byfuglien, you know, talked yesterday about how he predicts that the first 10, 15 minutes of the first period is going to be pretty chaotic as both teams just try to establish their type of game. I mean, Winnipeg fully expects Minnesota Wild to run their D hard on the forecheck in that first period. But then Bufflin says the expectation is that things will settle down. And, you know, kind of a funny moment with Bufflin. He doesn't speak often to the media, and he didn't give us a whole bunch yesterday. These are pretty short answers. But as he's walking back and heading back to the players' lounge, he says, "All right, guys, I'll talk to you next round." So we're probably not going to hear from Dustin Bufflin again at any point in this series.
Well, I mean, for Jets fans, let's hope he's right about that. They're primed for a run. They're a really good team. It starts tonight. Enjoy it. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, guys. Have a good night.
There's Darren Dreger, a Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. I wasn't aware that Bruce Boudreau has never started a playoff series on the road.
Well, he has the history of the Game 7 thing, and those are always at home, right?
You're right, yeah. Well, I mean, he took over Washington, and they were a juggernaut. Yeah. Then he went to Anaheim, and they were really good.
Yeah.
I guess last year they must have been...
They got dummied last year, Minnesota, didn't they?
They got swept by Jake Allen in the Blues.
Yeah, yeah. Brucey was...
Hello?
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 Brucey, that's the first time I've ever heard that. We went silent for a little bit. Do we actually have the clip of Brian and he just kind of, like, you delay sometimes, you have a pause... And he just said hello.
Yeah, but we really blew it.
It was on us. Let me explain this. Okay,
hang on a sec. Let's let the listeners listen in.
We defended and blocked shots, and we did what we had to do to win. Hello.
We got you, Bruce.
Got you.
That is a little. That's on you.
That's
dude.
Totally.
That's
on me.
So on us.
I don't know why. In the moment, I thought he was still talking, or he had something else to say, or he had a connection problem.
I think he thought he.
That's not like you, though. That is one gaffe that you will never live.
That
on.
Is. It's not a shining.
Yeah,
moment
but
for
you
me.
Bounced back when Lindy.
No,
was,
he didn't.
When Lindy was coughing, you said, "Are you all right, Lindy?"
Right. I couldn't. We haven't heard that in a while.
The Lindy Ruff cough, but
if
you follow it, you go, you actually say, and you don't break stride, "Are you okay?" Like, that's the one where...
I could have broken down, because you guys started laughing.
I turned my mic off immediately.
Looked at each other and were like, this guy almost croaked on the air.
Well, he's swallowed a cigar on his deck.
Oh, my God. That was, what, 2 years ago?
It's a couple of years ago, because Lindy was still coaching in Dallas.
Yeah, he was. Oh, that was a cough, man. That's an Andre the Giant cough.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep all these sounds. Next Christmas, when we complain about being in here, we're going to tape some shows to just play them around Christmas time. Best of.
The sounds of Christmas?
Sounds, funny guests, good interviews.
Maybe some Jerry's. Maybe we could bring some Jerry's to the table.
The best of Jerry's.
You're going to want to hear this. That's right, you pigeons. Jerry's back for the final hot take, and it's a doozy.
Wow.
In 2 months, I'll be standing at center ice getting booed incessantly while I scream awkwardly at the top of my lungs, "Austin Matthews, come and get the Stanley Cup." That's right, Toronto. The Leafs will win the Cup this year. And if that goon Philip Pritchard leaves me high and dry again without the Cup again, I'm going to roll him up like a bowling ball and throw him down Yonge Street. There's some great peeler joints on Yonge Street. Ever heard of the Brass Rail?
Jerry, come on.
I've heard of it.
Jerry's been just spontaneously showing up throughout the afternoon.
I know.
I mean, he was here at 5:30 with Rapid Fires, but... He said that's the final hot take before the playoffs. He said he'll be in Toronto 2 months from now saying, "Austin Matthews, come and get the Stanley Cup." He's got the Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup.
I think 20%.
That's a large number.
Is it?
For a guy who has Boston.
You got them out in the first round.
I don't care. That's my number. You're not the boss of me.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Awesome.
I had to come up with a number. 20% is my number.
All right, you got 20%.
Hang on. 15.
15%.
Sorry.
Noodles? How many teams left? 16 teams left. 16,
so 1 and 16. That's kind of where I'm at.
You're 8%. At like 7, 8% kind of?
8%.
8%. I think they have the same chance as Jersey, as Colorado.
Yes, because everyone starts at ground zero tonight. So it's, and it's a coin flip series. So they could be out in the first round, they could go to the second round and lose, they could lose in the conference final, or they could lose in the final as well.
That's right.
So there's many different layers to this. So I think the 1 in 16, just like everyone else, 8%.
15% and 8%. I got them beating Boston, so
you're,
I'm ahead of the game. No, I'm not that high. I take this stuff seriously. I don't just spit out numbers.
I take it seriously, too. That's why I said they've got a 1 in 16 chance.
I think they're one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the league.
What's your percentage?
Well, I'm trying to calculate it here on the fly. I think they've
don't
got...
Don't bring Salt Bay in the equation.
I think they have... I'm going to put them as a top 5 team. Because one of Nashville or...
So you're giving them 25%?
Yeah, no, I'm going to say 20%. 20%.
So it's not like you were through the roof.
No, I'm not through.
He was 5th. He was 20, and you berated him for it
because he's got Boston in the first round. I got the Leafs winning the first round.
He salt baited my pills.
I don't disagree that they can win the first round. I haven't even made my pick on this show or anywhere. You guys haven't heard once from
me. Yeah, who are you picking?
See, nobody's. I've just kind of flown under the radar.
Yeah, what's your story, dude? Who do you have?
Because people thought, because I said that Tuukka Rask has the edge in goal. Because of the experience, people thought I was choosing Boston. I'm not 100% on Boston. I think Boston is banged up and they may hit a wall. That doesn't mean I think the Leafs are making it to the final. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Leafs win that.
Is that your pick, though? Do you have the Leafs beating the Bruins?
I actually didn't. I didn't fill out a bracket yet.
So you're pulling a Bobby Mack. You're out. You're not going to make a prediction.
Let me make one tomorrow. Because before the game, I will have one for you. And I'll put some thought to it. But
for a cup... Winner?
No, for this series.
For Bruins,
for Bruins Leafs.
Noodles? And
I haven't made my pick on air on the show yet.
You're on the Bruins. I'm on the Leafs. We need a deciding vote.
And I want to dig into it a little bit more. And I have dug in, but I've flip-flopped. I don't know how many
times. I've done too much digging, man. I wish they were playing tonight. Like, let's get going.
I have flip-flopped a few times. And, like, to the point where I'm like... If I choose that team, I feel like the other team will win, so I don't want to jinx them. That's
reverse psychology.
Point. Yeah, so I'm kind of like, I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, I'll figure it out. Doesn't matter. I mean,
exactly.
Everyone's got to take it. It doesn't. What do we know? It's like jinxing a no hitter or a perfect game or a shutout. It doesn't really work that way.
But some moron wrote me on Twitter like, "We're going to eat your words." What words? I haven't said anything.
Well, like, I have. People are like, I do sense that a lot of Leaf fans.
I have a different message back to those people.
Like, Leaf fans are really sensitive to the idea that people would pick Boston. You got to realize they're like, Boston is a really good team. They got home ice,
and they've had the best record in the NHL since like November.
Right, for like 4 months, they've been an exceptional team.
Yeah, so don't let the facts get in the good way or
the way of a good story.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you're taking heat because you were.
I really don't give a Baker's. You know what? Like, I got bigger issues in my life than dealing with some guy in his mother's basement.
What if they're not? What if he's on like the bridal path? He's got a
He's got a
$25 million home.
I don't care.
You have the same reaction.
Yeah.
So mom's basement or like penthouse in Yorkville. It's all the same to you.
It's all the same.
All right.
It's somebody that's ignorant and wants to weigh in on what I'm trying to do as a job, and I don't care.
Right.
I think it'll be, I'm excited for it, but I can't wait for 20 minutes from now.
It's go
Let's
time.
Get it going.
I'll bet you people in Winnipeg are rattled that it's a 6 p.m. start. Why didn't they, why would you not, like,
I don't
jockey
think so.
These games? Why not have 7 o'clock Philly Pitt, 8 o'clock Winnipeg?
That would be too smart. That's too good of an idea.
Yeah, why would you do, because now you could have two games in overtime at the same time.
Yeah, no, I
why did they do that? Like, there's obviously a TV component to it.
We
but.
Question the scheduling all the time, don't we?
Well, and like, Game 2, Leafs Boston, is at 8 p.m. because NBC wants it on
for sure
at 8 p.m. It's not at 7 on Saturday.
Oh, great.
So it's an 8 p.m. start.
That's great. Come in on a Saturday and a little later than usual.
That one smells like a triple OT.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Legendary.
I'm working Saturday
2
with you, too.
Leaving the parking lot type of night.
That's not fun.
You guys are both on the panel on Saturday?
We're both on the panel Saturday night, yep.
All right. Jays looking for the sweep in Baltimore. They're 8-4. Raps going for 60 wins on the season tonight. A lot of good vibes in Toronto. We'll tee up the night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Looking at the NHL board tonight.
What do you got? Game one. There's going to probably be one shocker.
I think LA is going to find a way to win tonight. They're paying 210. And you know what? I'm going to throw some money on Philly, too.
Really?
Paying $3. They're just paying so much.
I don't understand what that means. You pay $3 to win $1?
Well, you pay $1 and you get $3.
Yeah.
Like, it's big
odds. 20
off.
Down, you get 60.
Yeah, you're making good money off that. Now, it's a part
of
a parlay.
So, you get 300?
Basically, that's what they're paying.
I like that.
And I think Winnipeg's going to win tonight. I feel good about the peg. Throw down 20, you can score 170. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So some sad news out of Humboldt. A 16th person has died as a result of the crash. The athletic therapist, woman by the name of Dana Bronze. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But that's 16 now.
Yeah.
And
I just can't even imagine. I mean, imagine the poor kid who will never walk again. Not only dealing with that, but it's the amount of loss. Like 16 people are gone that you were so close with.
Yeah.
Like one is so awful to deal with. 16 people, I just can't even imagine.
Well, the truth about it is their lives will never be the same. That community's lives will never be the same. No. You hope that it somehow they draw strength from the support, from leaning on each other. It's a tragedy. It's a massive tragedy, and there's no other way around it. Like I say, we all have stories about riding the buses. Some of us have personal stories to Humboldt, but it's more about just the grieving process, and hopefully at some point, there's no timeline on it, the grieving process to go through it and help heal, to help heal some of these people that these families that have been affected and on so many levels.
Well, that's the thing. Like, at some point, the country's focus is going to move elsewhere.
Right.
And that's just life. That's the way it works. But that's not going to stop in Humboldt.
It's not picking up the pieces in
absolutely
Humboldt.
Not. Yeah. And the thing is, with more and more news continuing to trickle out, I mean, again, with Dana passing away today and it becoming official, it kind of refreshes the story to an extent.
Right.
And now we go back to Humboldt, and we remember what happened. And I think what we're reminded of is that there are still people that survived the crash that are in really tough shape.
Yes.
You know, like, the aftermath, the immediate aftermath, was focused on the amount of death and the amount of people that died. And it was almost a throwaway stat. There were, you know, the survivors, the certain right. amount were in critical condition, certain amount of people could walk away. But now, not saying we've moved past the death of the 15, now 16 people on the buses, but I think what this makes me realize and focus on more is that there's still a lot of people that survived the crash, that they've got a really difficult road ahead,
yep.
and maybe a couple of them that won't even be able to survive.
Well, what I saw on CP24 was there was 4 critical, 4 stable, and 4 that were being treated type of thing. So I believe I read today that one had been released, another player had been released, which was a good sign, but then all of a sudden you get tragic news again that somebody passes, Dana passes. So, you know, there's still lots of numbers there
Absolutely.
Being dealt with.
Well, and with the playoffs starting tonight, I think, again, this is a good distraction for people. It's been mm-hmm. a really tough 5 or 6 days throughout the country. Doesn't change what happened. Won't make us stop thinking about it necessarily, but it gives you an opportunity to try to get back to some normalcy. And my understanding is, based on what I read today, it sounds like that league will continue with their playoffs in Saskatchewan, because they're making the case that they think it's in the best interest of everybody to try to not move on with your life, but get back to life. You know, and
yeah,
and
exactly.
We always say this. We can't confirm it. This is the thing about death, but you know, people say he would have wanted it that way or right. she would have wanted it that way. And, you know, I'm sure that that's something that's weighing on their minds as well, that
right.
the team would probably say, go play. You know, let's don't end the league because of us.
No, and there are some things that people need to, for lack of better words, escape from the pain. Some
therapeutic,
exactly. Fan, you know, go watch a game, go play, you know, a sport, do something to get your mind for 2 hours off of it. You know, and that's speaking to the normalcy of the world, and mm-hmm. and again, but it's also a good reminder of how precious life is and how lucky we are to be sitting here talking about it. And you know, you've seen so many heart-wrenching, even comments and people coming out of it, like Chris Joseph, his sit down with Ryan Rashog the other day. Like it was tough. It was tough to watch, but you know, that's, I think
what it hits home. It's a reality. Yeah, that's what happened.
Exactly.
Tomorrow's Jersey Day throughout the country. I think everyone's kind of supporting this. I know John Tory sent out a statement earlier today that the city of Toronto is supporting this idea, Jersey Day throughout the country in support of Humboldt. And I think a lot of people wear green and gold tomorrow or whatever jersey you want to wear, you know, so I might have to pull out a jersey. I might pull out multiple jerseys tomorrow.
Really?
Make a couple of wardrobe changes. Like, you guys are both going to be in suits, I'm assuming, and
yeah,
you guys aren't jersey guy, and I'm not necessarily jersey guy either, but I can be jersey guy for the right reason.
Yeah.
I'll bring in a jersey tomorrow.
We're going to be back at 4 p.m. to see your jerseys.
Not quite.
Not quite.
In about 50 seconds, we'll be doing that.
Come on.
What's with you today?
What do you mean? We're always out at 53.
No. Sometimes it's 53-50, sometimes
it moves,
53.
Man. It's a moving clock.
That's why sometimes
I don't
have your headset in, but Mullen will get into our ear and go 53-50.
Either shut up. Usually it's shut up. Can we go to
rap,
break?
Let's go. Let's go.
Or this is his signature move to me. He does a hand gesture like this.
You're a pigeon.
Yeah.
The You're a pigeon.
Move along.
There
please.
It is right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get
move
out.
Along.
Stop bothering me. Stop looking at me, Swan.
Anyway, all of us will be back with Mullen tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.